Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And this week, we're going to be doing something a little bit different for Full Court Finance. We're going to be talking about Apple because everyone knows they make iPhones and a lot of other things. But last week, they had their big now customary launch event for their new products before the start of the holiday shopping season. But I'm going to ask the question, is Apple a big health and fitness giant quietly? So we'll get into that. And then there's going to be some fun, just kind of future of sports news roundup at the end. But before we do any of that, I just want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com because any feedback is always appreciated. So let's get right into it. Apple was the talk of the town and Wall Street last week. And like I said, I wouldn't normally talk about Apple on this podcast, but it looks like they're poised to become a hugely popular wearable company, as the Apple Watch is pretty successful these days. And a lot of the features are based on health and fitness and are encouraging people to be more active. So that kind of fits in exactly with what we're doing. If we can't talk about health and fitness in relation to sports, then I don't really know what we can talk about on this show. So on top of introducing the iPhone XS, which someone pointed out to me, kind of just it's a strange name. Looks like extra small, even though it's kind of supposed to be their new big phone. Then the SXX Max and XR, which is kind of the smallest of the three new phones, or the least expensive at least. And then they also showed off their Apple Watch Series 4. So they've had one new one every year since they've been out, and this is by far the biggest design overhaul. And out of the second two watches were kind of similar to what the Series 1 looked like. And then you had Apple's chief operating officer, Jeff Williams. He presented, whereas Tim Cook presented a lot of the other stuff, and then they kind of pass it on to different executives. He was the one presenting the Apple Watch last week, and one of his lines that stuck out to me was that the Apple Watch has become an intelligent guardian for your health. And obviously this is corporate speak and they're trying to promote a new product that they're selling, but it really is pretty crazy the stuff that this new watch is able to do. And you can see the future of it becoming just even more mind-blowing with all of the health monitoring capabilities the Apple Watch will have. So I'm going to go over just a few of the basics, and right off the bat, Apple is doing everything bigger. They're betting on bigger is better. So the screens are 30% larger. They now are edge to edge pretty much for the most part. I mean, it's not exactly looks like there's no side to the screen, but it's definitely bigger than it was before. There is a brand new watch face. Apple's saying that there's 8 different complications for all you watch aficionados out there. That's a watch term. And then you kind of set it up based on your choices. So you could have 8 different kind of icons on your Apple Watch screen, which seems like a lot to be going on all at once to be paying attention to. They say it has a louder speaker, a more precise scroll wheel, and an 18-hour, what they say is all-day battery life. So if you charge it at night when you're sleeping. And then the new watch operating system is OS 5 for the watch. And then the Apple Watch Series 4 starts at $399, and that is with just GPS. And then the one with cellular capabilities starts at $499. And then those are available already this Friday, September 21st. You can get them in the stores if they're not already sold out. And then the Apple Watch Series 3, they're moving that price tag down to $279. So you can get the old models of all of these things most often as soon as they release the new ones. And now I want to get back into the real health monitoring and workout tracking stuff, because as I said, it is relatively crazy. So they have a new accelerometer and gyroscope built in that can identify when someone falls or slips in any way. And then it delivers you an alert to then give the person, the wearer, an option to make an emergency call right from their wrist. And if the person does not choose to either make the call or decline to make the call. If they just fell while they're running, got back up, no worries. But if there's nothing happens, there will automatically be an emergency call made after a minute. This could sound kind of silly to some people, like, oh, it's those commercials where those old people are like, I've fallen and I can't get up. But I mean, you could be running, say, at night and fall and crack your head open and pass out. I mean, maybe something bad happens in this watch. If it somehow helps a few hundred people over the course of the time, it is a pretty crazy feature that you can see just building and building and building. And some that might scare some people that it's knows if you're falling from just based on your wrist, that they're be able to track that much. But I think in the long run, this kind of technology and this wearable tech will be some of the most beneficial things for our health, just because monitoring all of these things is then making your doctor aware of all these things. But I don't want to get into that yet. So then there's three new heart rate features. Users will be able to see if their heart rate appears to be too low. And this is often considered a good thing to have a low resting heart rate, but people's resting heart rates are obviously different from person to person. So it's based on what your heart rate should be at. So it's monitoring if it goes too low, which can then be a bad thing. Just low heart rate is not always a good thing, even though sometimes it's thought of as a good thing. So they're now monitoring that, whereas they couldn't do that before. And then they're now monitoring your heart's rhythm. So the Apple Watch will send alerts to if things appear to be irregular, and it will send notifications about what is called arterial fibrillation, which is commonly referred to as AFib. It won't work every time, Apple said, but they see it as a really amazing step forward that it can track AFib, set up alerts, because that's a thing that affects a lot of people and that can lead to some serious health problems with your heart. And then the big showstopper, what everyone in the audience at the Apple presentation was clapping for and what Apple's really talking about is taking this watch to the next level, is they have a new sensor that allows you to take an electrocardiogram of your heart. Called an ECG, so that measures the electrical activity of your heartbeat. It's used by doctors to help diagnose certain heart conditions, and you can now take it wherever you want. You just put your finger on what they call the crown, but which is actually like the little digital scroll wheel on the side of the Apple Watch, for 30 seconds. And then it is the first ECG product ever offered to consumers directly over the counter. It's FDA approved. As I said, it takes about 30 seconds. Then all this data is stored in your Apple Health app, which most people have on their iPhone. They might not even have ever used it, but it's there, and it's tracking how often you're walking. If you're using your phone, it'll tell you your weekly, monthly totals for all of this. So if you've never used your iPhone Health app, just look at it randomly. It's on there. I don't think you could even delete it if you wanted to. The good thing here is that it'll slowly store all this information, and Apple doesn't want to scare people. They don't want to have people doing all this heart rate stuff just so they can go into the doctor and be like, is something wrong with me? It's just to give a doctor a better picture in the long run. My producer Danny was shaking his head. He didn't know that was a thing for Apple, and he just opened up his Apple Health thing, which is absolutely hilarious. So then they had the head of the American Heart Association, who was also a practicing cardiologist. He came in to speak and really just hype up this new Apple Watch and how important of a step forward this ECG monitoring capability is. The basic idea was that he was saying that often people come in, they complain about something with their heart, and it's just absent at the time of the visit, so there's no way to know if this is real or not. So the idea is just to have as much data stored on your health as possible is going to be better for you and your doctors going forward. And now I want to talk a little bit, some more sporty stuff that's on the watch. It kind of made me want to get an Apple Watch. I don't think I'm going to get an Apple Watch, but the fact, and I mean, some of these have been part of the Apple Watch for a while. But they've just gotten a little better. That's kind of how Apple does all their products. The iPhone gets a little bit better. Apple Watch gets a little better. So you can swim in it. Once again, it's water resistant up to 50 meters, which is pretty impressive stuff. They say you can take it in the ocean if you want. So they have guys surfing in it in their ads now. Boxing, skiing, snowboarding. It's saying that it's going to be able to track a lot of that stuff. Automatic workout detection. So this is to say you're starting a workout, but you forgot to hit your button. To say you're working out, Apple's going to track that because they can tell that you're moving at a quicker pace than you would be just walking or something like that. You can pair it with compatible gym equipment. So if you're at a gym that obviously Apple's worked out partnerships with specific companies, so it's not just anytime you're on a treadmill anywhere, it's going to be able to sync with that. But going forward, that might be something you see more often. And then it works also with third-party fitness apps. So they talk about how you can download a tennis app, and then the Apple Watch will help you track your swing, which seems insane to me. But it clearly must work in some way. And then one of the cooler things that it does seem like it could be more fun is, and I think some of these fitness apps do this as well, is just sort of challenge and compete against people you're not with. So if you have friends who run in a different city or whatever you're doing, swim in a different city, you can compete against each other either on a daily basis or weekly basis and be like, this is how many miles I'm going to run. It gives you a little bit more motivation. All of this is coming down to just trying to get people to be a little bit more active in any way possible. And then something you might see in the ads, which it's not really intuitive to know what they are, but it's these three rings that kind of Apple wants them to complete for the day. So they want you to, they have a movement ring. So they want you to make sure this is about moving the most you can throughout the day, burning calories. And then exercise in general is, it's more than just your daily movement. It's vigorous, brisk activity. And then they have a standing little circle you'll see on the Apple Watch. And like I said, in a lot of the ads, and that is, there's all the research of do not sit at your desk all day. It's encouraging you to stand up, move around. It's bad to sit down all day, even though I often do it. But standing up, moving around is a good thing. So Apple is really, I mean, obviously they're a company that's making billions of dollars and they want to sell you these Apple Watches for $499. But in the long run, companies like Apple that do have all of the capability and all of the funds to pour money into something like putting an ECG on your wrist for the first time ever, and they're not a health company whatsoever. But going forward, I can really see Apple doing more of this, especially as they try to get away from being so over reliant on the iPhone. And then what is interesting is some people kind of talk about that the Apple Watch might not be doing well. It is doing pretty well. So the Apple Watch last quarter was the industry leader for smartwatches. It made up 17% of the market in the second quarter, according to market research firm IDC. The firm said it shipped a total of 4.7 million units in the quarter, which was up 38% from the year ago period. And that was 500,000 more units sold than Chinese electronics maker Xiaomi. And once again, I apologize if I butchered that name. I looked up some videos to make sure I was pronouncing it right. And that is the consensus of how to pronounce it. But yeah, they make a lot of phones and wearables in China. And they also, Apple more than doubled Fitbit. For those of you who might not know, Fitbit is a publicly traded company and they have not been doing well since they went public a few years back. They're down 81%. They were up for 4 or 5 months maybe after they went public, and then since then they've just kind of gone down slowly and slowly because of companies like Apple that are making products that are equally as effective for tracking everything Fitbit does, but they just have a little bit, I guess you could say, more cachet and clout and might look better in some people's opinions, not necessarily mine. But then Apple also did, well, this is one last little Apple tidbit about their presentation and something very sports related that I think is fun and something you also see probably more of going forward in the app. Makes me actually want to get this app and start playing basketball again, even though I don't play basketball much at all anymore. But they showed off an app that's not made by Apple, but it pairs well with the new iPhone. And this is the Apple's, or not Apple's home. It's an app called Home Court. It is an app that helps people who are playing basketball track their shots. They track six different metrics of from launch angle, shots made, all that kind of stuff. And it uses AI. You could just place it. You could place your iPhone on some stand or something. And just it'll watch you shoot. It'll track all your shots, your makes, your misses. Yeah, what your angle was like on your makes and misses. They had Steve Nash out there talking about it with the Home Court developer. I just thought that was very interesting. And this is something that a lot of people probably don't think about, that now they're selling. There's apps that can track. I mean, can track all the shots you're making. That sounds simple enough, but then some relatively cheap app you can put on your iPhone is now doing data that NBA teams collect at practice for like millions and millions of dollars. And now there's just this app that you can download on your new iPhone and it'll track all of your basketball metrics by itself using AI. And then you can become an NBA player like Steve Nash, which is not what they were insinuating at all. But I just thought that was a funny push that you can see. You can see apps coming up like that for everything. You could have it for every sport possible, football, baseball. You could go, yeah, if you were a baseball pitcher or something, you could just take your iPhone out and it could probably tell you if you're throwing balls or strikes and track all your speed. I could easily see that happening. Maybe they already have that, but if not, we patented the idea on this show if anybody is an app developer out there. But I could talk a little bit more about Apple, but I want to transition into another sort of future of sports, because I think that's going to be more of a theme of this show going forward, because we're really at a crossroads where technology is infused so much into sports these days that they go together really well. And so that's the Players Tribune teaming up with Snapchat, as Snapchat is on sort of a slow decline. People are worried about Snapchat, but for the Players Tribune, for people who don't know, it is a players, as its name sounds like, it is a players outlet where the players are writing the articles. Some people say they're ghostwritten, whatever. It's players telling their side of the story. Derek Jeter owns it. He started it right before or right after he retired. It's been around for about 4 or 5 years. Kobe Bryant's involved as well. So they partnered with Snapchat. They've done similar shows on Twitter and YouTube, but it's just a fun kind of little 12-episode show of NFL players just talking about things fans would be talking about. So it's, who's your favorite NFL player? Like, what professional athlete would be able to make it in the NFL? Because there's always talk of, could LeBron James play in the NFL? And now you have guys in the NFL, that one guy, Jalen Ramsey, talking about how he could play in the NHL in 6 months. And so you then had all the NHL players coming out and saying, you couldn't even skate in 6 months. So I could get sidetracked by that. But that's a fun little story that you can see companies like Snapchat are just trying to get any buzz back at all. And so you will see a lot of companies like the Players Tribune, these media outlets, also just try to work. All these companies are trying to work out what's going to stick. We're in a new media environment, but is Snapchat actually going to be a viable place? Maybe, and we have to try to figure it out. So you'll see a lot more of that going forward, just any little one-off 12-episode series, see if it works. If it does, we keep going. If not, we'll move on. And then this is something kind of near and dear to my heart that I want to end with. It's something I've slowly watched bubble up over the last like 6 months on Instagram. And that was a huge last week news from Nike and giant soccer club in Europe, Paris Saint-Germain, PSG. They have the first ever Jordan brand soccer team. So last week, midweek, PSG and Jordan Brand, which is owned by Nike, dropped this exclusive. They're going to be wearing one of their jerseys or kits, which they call them over there, is going to be sponsored by Jordan Brand. Jordan Brand now sponsors a lot of college athletics. So they sponsor like Oklahoma football, North Carolina basketball. That brand logo has a lot of clout still everywhere in the world. Jordan Brand does really well for Nike. And they sold out their collection within 24 hours of it launched last week. PSG is going to play their first game in it actually tomorrow in their Champions League debut for the season versus Liverpool. And this is something that you're going to see a lot more of this. Not that they want to flood the market, because they still want that Jordan Brand to have just, it means more. They're not going to just have every Nike team be sponsored by Jordan Brand, but you can see Nike making this push in a city like Paris. It's a fashion hub. Nike is trying to also compete in soccer with Adidas at every turn, but they're also, like all of these other companies are doing in the sports world, is they're also trying to be a little bit more fashion forward. And so you have Nike and Jordan partnering with the biggest soccer team in what is arguably the biggest fashion city in the world. And it's been bubbling up where you had NBA players who are with Jordan kind of showing this logo of the Jordan brand in the PSG, which is the Eiffel Tower. And it somehow almost looks exactly the same, because Jordan's legs are like spread out and his arms going up. It kind of looks like the Eiffel Tower. Look it up. It actually looks very cool. And they've been doing that for the last month or so in preparation, but then it officially launched last week. So as I said, that is something to watch more of going forward, because basketball and soccer are the two most popular sports in the world, and you will just sort of see more and more and more of this going forward. But I could talk about this for way too long, and I don't want to bore everybody by droning on and on about this. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.